Then we come to the so-called Slavic and Baltic polytheism. So we have two, at least we have two gods here. One is Veles. So let me explain first. Veles is a, there is here, one is called the Perun. One is the name of Veles. You see that, yeah, the picture with the with depicting Veles on his forehead, there's a symbol. One is the V, and then the other one, I don't know how to say it. So that is the symbol that is depicting him. So one is Veles is a Slavic god of the underworld. Interesting. This one is underworld, earth, wealth, and magic. It embodying the hidden, transformative, and fluid forces beneath the surface of life. So this is one of the gods in the Slavic tradition. While Perun is the Slavic god of thunder, lightning, and law, embodying power, justice, and the ordering force of the sky. So, two different gods. And of course, the one, this wooden one, is the god of Veles. It is the statue of the god Perun on Lysaia Ora Mountain in Kyiv, Ukraine. This is the one. And the one that with thunders. One is holding something that has the lightning. So that one must be Perun. Then we have another one. This is kind of interesting. It's a Zbruch idol. Yeah. Okay, I'm not sure how to pronounce it. The Zbruch idol is a three-tiered Slavic stone culture representing the cosmos, linking the heaven, human world, and underworld into a unified vision of reality. So there are three tiers here. The top one represents the heaven, and the middle one represents the human world, and the last, the bottom one, represents the underworld. So here, the deities linked to thunder, agriculture, ancestors, and strong household spirit traditions. Then we come to the so-called household and civic polytheism, referring to everyday worship. One is the Laris. The Laris were Roman household guardian spirit, honored daily as protector of family, home, and the living connection between people and place. This is a Roman citizen honoring the Laris, or household god, making offering with maybe some wines in it. And then under another gods is, his name is called Vesta, and it is the goddess of bakery, Vesta, Roman god illustration. So Vesta is the Roman goddess of the heart and sacrifice, sacred fire. One is the heart and sacred fire, representing the quiet, sustaining center of home, state, and inner life. So we have here another picture, and in the center here, the center figure appears to be goddess or mother of goddess. So we could see that Western polytheism was not only temple-based, but now every home had spirits. One is Laris, the household guardian, and another one is Penates, is food and prosperity. The Penates were Roman household gods who protected food and nourishment, ensuring the material well-being and continuity of family life. So cities had patron gods, family lineage tied to divine favor. So this is very close to Chinese, the so-called the earth spirit practice, the family spirit. Then comes the transition of polytheism to Christianity, which is through absorption, but not to erasure, to erase. This picture is very interesting. It's very complicated. You can see many figures here on the top. Is they are angels, and then of course the cross in the center, and then below is also there are many figures, but it seems like they were defeated. So it's called the triumph of Christianity over paganism. Very beautiful, beautiful painting. Then come another picture. This is just a temple of Antoninus in Frostine, Rome, Italy. And this site, it become Christianized site. You see in the middle with the sculpture, but the head is missing. It's gone. We come to another one. See, it's the icon Blessed Virgin Mary. And it depicts the dries away evil thoughts. Kind of interesting. The Blessed Virgin Mary pouring the water to the figure below to dry away evil thoughts. So you can say this is also another kind of practice. So you can say that this is the picture, the painting of the Virgin Mary, blessed her. So overall, we can say that polytheism did not vanish, but it transformed. And how it survived? So pagan gods changed to saints, and goddesses is referring to as Virgin Mary. In sacred springs is holy wells and seasonal festival turning to Christian holidays. This produced folk Christianity, which is functionally polytheistic, though doctrinally denied. And for the modern Western polytheism, you can say that it's revival movement. It's called the Wicca. So Wicca is a modern nature-based spiritual tradition that honors the cycles of earth, practices ritual and intention, and emphasizes harmony, personal freedom, and non-harm. Okay, so we have another name called Wicca. These pictures, it just depict that, you know, it's the cast a Wicca magic circles. So its image is the wheel of the year. I have it here, but not I'm not for yours on your side. The wheel of the year, a cyclical calendar of eight seasonal festivals in Wicca, symbolizing the continuous flow of life, death, and renewal in nature. Now, here, as you see, is eight seasonal festival. This is a pagan altar. Then pagan here broadly refers nature-based or polytheistic spiritual traditions, both ancient and modern, that exist outside the major monotheistic religions. You see that there is a Wicca altar. So today, polytheism returns openly through the so-called neo-paganism, which is Wicca, the modern Druidry, and heathenry. And its characteristics are nature reverence, multiple deities, rituals without centralized authority, its psychologically plus symbolic interpretation common. Now, is indigenous and Afro-diasporic polytheism in the West? This is an altar, as you see it, the offering. You see candles, see fruits, you see flowers, and you also see wines. So Afro-Brazilian religious offering honoring this god Orixas in a syncretic spiritual ritual, as the picture depicted. Then we have another picture. This is a little bit scary. We have, you see this figure, like a baby girl, and then we see this the bones, animal bones. So Toko in Africa shines a voodoo healer. Then, coming to almost to the end, we see the picture. It's called Brazilian Candomblé ceremonies honor goddess Lemanja and Oxum. This name I'm not familiar. And of course, this so-called Candomblé ceremonies, some kind of ritual offering. They're dancing. So Candomblé is an Afro-Brazilian religion that honors nature-based spiritual forces, which is Orixas, through ritual, to music, to dance, and ancestral tradition. So these traditions preserve living polytheism, namely Santeria, Voodoo, Candomblé. So it features possessions, offerings, clear deity hierarchy, and priesthood. It's very closest parallel to East Asian deity system. Now you can see that Western polytheism is not random. It assumes many powers exist, no single absolute controller, and gods are conditioned beings, so it has to do with fate, order, necessity transcends God. This is closer to Buddhist cosmology than Abrahamic monotheism. So, the so-called Abrahamic monotheism refers to the belief in one single, all-powerful God, as taught in the religious tradition that traced their origin to the prophet Abraham. So, Abrahamic refers to religions that see Abraham as a spiritual ancestor or foundational figure. The three main ones are Judaism, Christianity, and Islam. All three share a common root in the Middle East and similar core ideas about God. So, what is the meaning of monotheism? Monotheism is the belief in only one God. So, in Abrahamic monotheism, this God is creator of the universe. It's all-powerful, omnipotent. It's all-knowing, omniscience. And personal can hear prayers, give commandments. It's separate from creation, not identical with the world. With the key characteristics of Abrahamic monotheism typically includes a single, first of all, is a single creator God. God created everything from nothing. The world is not divine itself. Revelation is a God communicates through prophets, say through Moses, through Jesus, through Muhammad, and moral law, clear commandments. The example of Ten Commandments or Sharia, linear time. History has a beginning, creation, and the end, judgment. And the salvation judgment is humans are judged by God. Heaven or hell is the result. Well, we could do some comparison here. First of all, is Abrahamic monotheism is one creator God, eternal soul, often assumed. God judges, creation is real, and relation with God. While Buddhism is no creator God, no fixed self. And then karma function naturally, and phenomena are empty, which is we call sunyata, and it has insight into my nature. So we could come to a summary of Abrahamic monotheism is a belief in a single personal creator God who governs the universe and reveals moral truth to humanity through prophets. Yet, from a Chan perspective, Western polytheism sees many functions. Chinese religion sees many offices. Buddhism sees many conditions, but no fixed self in any God. Gods are roles, not absolutes, as the Avatamsaka spirit would say. One mind, many manifestations. I will stop my talk here. Do you have any questions?
So my question is about the Western religion. The Christianity absorbed the polytheistic religion, but did Buddhism do the same for the Chinese religion? Like, is there any, especially Chan Buddhism, like, did they try to accommodate other religion when it came to China?
Yes. Because when Buddhism comes to China, it has to somehow adapt to certain belief or functions in their own country. And you could say that in the beginning, through the communication, they have to use certain terms that people are familiar with. So, say for example, in the beginning, the word Buddha was not really believed by people. So they see the Buddha as a deity. In Chinese, it's called Shen Xian, deity or a heavenly being that has some powers. All right, but that was the beginning. And as time evolved, then this word Buddha come. So it become four, which is Buddha. And people got to understand that the Buddha is not a deity, and it is not a powerful spirit, which is in Chinese is called Shen Xian. So it's like an immortal identity. But that was in the beginning. And later on, this word Buddha comes. And they know that the Buddha, or the word for, you could say that it is higher than just regular deities or Shen Xian or powerful spirits. So you could say that yes, somehow they make use of it, but it convey the idea or the teaching of the Buddha.